Sundays, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. A federal appeals court has ruled that a California law requiring background checks to buy bullets is unconstitutional. Judge Roger Benitez says if people can't buy bullets, they can't use their guns. CBS legal analyst Lori Levinson tells us the case is probably headed to the Supreme Court.
Because it's a significant Second Amendment case. It goes beyond the idea that you can take away people's guns or limit their guns for self-defense. It goes to other types of gun control policies.
President Trump toured the renovations at the Federal Reserve headquarters Thursday while continuing to pressure the Fed chairman to lower interest rates. CBS's Erica Brown reports.
As they toured the renovations, underway at the Federal Reserve's D.C. headquarters, it was clear President Trump and Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell did not see eye to eye when it came to its cost.
You just added in a third building is what that is. That's a third building.
Well, no, but it's a building that's being built.
No, it was built 5 years ago. We finished Martin 5 years ago.
It's part of the overall work.
It's not new.
The visit came as the president continued to push the Fed chair to lower interest rates.
The Supreme Court paused a lower court's ruling limiting who can sue under the 1965 Voting Rights Act. It was a move backed by civil rights groups. Native American tribes in North Dakota had challenged a state legislative map they said dilutes their voting power. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum explains the case is probably not over.
This is another Supreme Court decision issued under the shadow docket, an emergency appeal that does not go through the usual briefing and oral argument requirements for an actual decision of the court. Such a case will eventually make its way back to the Supreme Court involving the application of the Voting Rights Act to these three Native American tribes.
France is the latest European country to say it will recognize a Palestinian state. Reporter Linda Gradstein says the step is premature, but still significant.
It's not clear exactly what that means, but it's certainly sort of a vote of support and a vote of censure against Israel. It's an important symbolic move.
We now know the cause of death for celebrity chef Anne Burrell, who had been host of the Worst Cooks in America show. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
According to the New York Office of the Chief Medical Examiner, the Food Network star died by suicide after ingesting a toxic combination of alcohol, antihistamines, and a drug used to treat ADHD.
Burrell was found unresponsive at her home June 17. She was 55. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A Brewers anniversary. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers host the Miami Marlins at American Family Field, where they're celebrating the 25th anniversary of the opening of the ballpark. Food discount specials, special events planned for the fans. After the game, a home run derby featuring former players like Prince Fielder, Carlos Gomez, and Ryan Braun. The Brewers with the best record in baseball heading into this weekend's series. Golf. The winner of the Wisconsin State Amateur Golf Championship is a teenager. 18-year-old Vince Siegel sank a birdie putt on the first playoff hole after shooting a 4-under 68 in the final round. NFL Packers training camp practices continue. How's it going so far?
Yesterday was pretty clean. I thought our guys did a good job of competing, but also taking care of one another, because ultimately we need everybody healthy for us to be at our best. By and large, our guys did a good job of competing, getting the work in, but also taking care of one another.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Tonight we'll have a partly cloudy sky across the area and a little patchy fog forming. Lows will drop to the lower 60s, light winds. Friday, the fog burns off. Otherwise, we'll have a mostly sunny sky with an afternoon high topping out in the lower 80s. Right now, it's 67.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, free ticket Friday, a four-pack of tickets up for grabs for the hottest team in baseball. And Dan Schaefer is going to help us recombobulate. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
That is what makes democracy great. The power in a democracy is derived from the people. It resides in the people. These individuals that we have elected don't hold those seats in perpetuity.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Why are we cutting Medicaid, which is overwhelmingly popular with both Democrats and Republicans?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
You know what we need in the United States is more paperwork.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody, and happy Thursday afternoon. I hope you are keeping it cool out there. Please check on your friends and family members that might be a little bit more susceptible to heat-related illnesses, those sorts of things. Check in on people, because it's about every one of us. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Today, we are saving democracy, one reform idea at a time. Big thanks to our last guests, both of the Campaign Legal Center, Elizabeth Schimmick and Kedrick Payne. We're going to have them back. I think we now have stumbled upon what we're going to be doing for reform on this network, on this show, which is pick a particular reform or pick a particular problem and then just do a deep dive on that, give people some action steps, and let's go fix this damn thing because I'm sick of it. I know he is too. My co-host this afternoon is Nick Ramos. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We welcome Professor Michael Wagner of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He is the director of the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal. Yeah, give me some of that, some civic renewal. And we are also joined by Christy McGivelray. She's the executive director of Voters, Not Politicians. And she knows how Michigan has fixed some of these problems. But in the secret show before the show that you can find on YouTube, also at Maggie Dawn Show on Facebook, X, and Instagram, we were having a little chit-chat about crypto and some of your thoughts. Christy, jump right on in. Water's warm.
Sure. And I just can't help myself because I really care about democracy more than anything else, which is saying a lot because there's a lot of stuff I care about. And crypto really gets to the heart of it. People think it's complicated. I'm going to say it's not. Pretend it's a marketing scheme, but it's money, right? So instead of me holding a dollar and you holding a dollar and both of us agreeing that we hold a dollar with crypto, if I hold a dollar, but I bought it 6 months ago before everyone started buying it, all of a sudden it costs more. It's more, it's worth more, right? It's literally a pyramid scheme, but a currency. And it's tied to all sorts of the shady stuff that you mentioned. What I was talking about right before we got on is the way that far right extremists are actually using it to fund themselves because it can't be traced and it's secret. And after Charlottesville, when there were literal Nazis marching through the streets, beating people up, a lot of different banking institutions refused to work with the people that were associated with that. They turned to crypto. And the Southern Poverty Law Center has been doing amazing research on figuring out how these violent far-right extremists are leaning on cryptocurrencies in order to amass money to do very bad things. So everyone should go check it out. It's lame.
It is. It is so lame. Thanks so much. Again, we've got Christy McGillivray of Voters Not Politicians, as well as Professor Michael Wagner from the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal. Professor, let me ask you this. When you talk about trying to get people reengaged with voting, with their government, with petitioning, with our right to referendum, which needs to get fixed in this state, direct democracy, what are some of the objections or things that you hear from regular people that's keeping them on the sidelines? And secondly, how do we fix those things?
I think there are a few things. One is the persistent, growing, and false belief that both sides are the same. And so a lot of people who don't participate say, a pox on both your houses, I don't want to participate, it doesn't make a difference, both sides are the same, they're just as bad as each other, and it doesn't make a difference what I do. And that, I think, false belief is one thing that drives this. Another is how intense and sometimes scary political discussion and participation has become. And so in some of the surveys we do in Wisconsin, we found that one of the biggest predictors of why people don't participate is that they are afraid that something might happen to them, whether that be actual physical violence or just, you know, having people treat them in ways that are, you know, less than how humans treat each other or should treat each other when they're trying to engage in a civil or difficult debate. And so I think there's the I'm afraid to participate because of how it might feel or my own safety. And then there's the it doesn't make a difference anyway, I think are the two big things that are getting in the way.
You know, it occurs to me, and this is just a little anecdote. My mom's in her 80s. She had lunch the other day with a bunch of her grade school classmates. And she actually brought up what I do for a living and my opinions on a few things. And that particular group of former classmates is very, very conservative. She got a letter 2 days later from one of the women in that group that said, thanks, Shirley, for saying that. And what I refer to this as is permission structures telling people, no, you're not the only Democrat in Eau Claire County or Winnebago County. There are lots of you out there. And even if you don't consider yourself a Democrat and you're one of those people that says, I don't like the news. I'm over this. People, you have a voice. You are not alone. And there are avenues to engage. And I think some of these democracy reforms are the things that the vast majority of us agree about most of the time. If I can very briefly just follow up with you, Professor, what are some of the things that get people engaged, that bring people out, that people say, I might be a little bit nervous that my coworker might hate me, but I'm going to say what I need to say anyways?
Well, I think one is being asked. When political leaders seeking office, when people leading social movement groups ask people to help, ask people for their vote, ask people to participate, and provide them an avenue and a structure to do so, more people participate. So I think that's part of it. I think that places that have healthier local news ecologies have higher participation. So when local news is covering local politics and saying it's not just the governor's race or the Senate race or the presidency that matters, but the local sheriff's race and other kinds of things that matter, that tends to bring people out to vote and participate a little bit more as well. And, you know, I think the willingness to talk to people who are different than you is a big one. In Wisconsin, a little bit more than 2/3 of us have stopped talking politics with somebody because we disagree. And about 20% of us have just cut somebody out of our lives altogether. And once you start cutting people out of your lives because of a political disagreement, it becomes a lot easier to avoid participating in lots of other kinds of aspects of civic life.
And Professor, you were brilliantly talking about like the voter apathy and even hesitancy that we've seen in Wisconsin and I imagine across the country. And we're starting to get at the heart of, you know, more of this. Well, are there folks out there that are during this time of voter apathy and hesitancy starting to kind of, you know, reach a level where they want to be engaged? I mean, are you seeing, you know, in Wisconsin or across the country, you know, the opposite side of that paradigm? And what do you think is driving that right now?
I think that one of the things that we found in our surveys of the state and in our analyses of news coverage in the state and social media conversation in the state is that particular issues can really be inspiring for people to participate. But it is almost always when something major has been lost on that issue. So from the Democrats' perspective, losing the legal right to legal abortion, right, was one that generated a lot of political participation. Attitudes about, you know, how many decisions seem to be getting made at the federal level that violate democratic norms in many cases and our laws in other is something else that seems to be motivating people to participate. And so it's when it's an issue they care about, reproductive rights, democracy itself, and they see a threat to it that motivates participation. It's the same kind of motivation that spurred folks on the more religious right in the 70s, 80s, and 90s who wanted to change abortion policy, were on the minority side and the losing side legally of that in that era, and participated a ton and ended up getting what they wanted.
Mm. One of the things that you touched upon, Professor, is the importance of local news. We are actually tomorrow on this very program talking about news deserts and the fact that if you live in a news desert, guess what? Your average wages are lower. You have less retirement income. You take less vacation. You're more sick. You have less public education. I could go on and on and on. News deserts are the thing that deprive people of the natural on-ramp to engagement with government.
Well, and I think about, too, especially in some of these rural areas that we see, when you don't have the luxury of local news and you don't have the luxury of being able to get anything other than what is being fed to you in the community, it very much changes the way in which people act, their perspective, their experiences. Mm-hmm. And I mean, big foundations. I mean, I know the Heritage Foundation's one of them. They've used social media and other tools to then feed news, and it creates not an educated electorate, and that's dangerous.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this on YouTube, go ahead, folks, and Google Sinclair Broadcasting Newsreaders, and it is literally a veritable screen of like 68 supposedly newscasters reading the exact same script. And I'm here to tell you, listen, every headline that's written, every article that is written, there are choices made, not just about what to cover, how to cover it, what headline runs. I mean, consider this. Beloved governor announces he will not seek third term, right? Or crazy commie left. I mean, right, you all get it.
Yeah.
Christy, let's turn to you. Sure. And folks, if you're just joining us, we've got Christy McGivelray, the executive director of Voters Not Politicians. We've also got Professor Michael Wagner. He's the director for the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And I've got a co-host, thank God, Nick Ramos, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Christy, Michigan is doing relatively better than Wisconsin. Give folks, like, what's the good first step? What's the first reform that people should start asking their elected officials to institute?
Sure. Well, what we did in Michigan was actually go around our elected officials because they were not instituting the reforms, which actually remains the problem. So, and I want to be really clear. I've actually come on to Voters Not Politicians. I've been here for only 2 weeks. We took on gerrymandering. That's what we did. And I've joined this organization because now we're going to take on money in politics, which is why I started talking about crypto. Because we had some major structural reforms, more people voted, we got a more evenly split legislature. But unfortunately, the legalized bribery of campaign financing affects both parties. And a lot of stuff that we were really hoping for ground to a halt because of that. So we've got a bipartisan problem in Michigan that is truly actually the worst in the nation. I think it was in 2015, there was a report that came out. I want to say it was from Common Cause that said that we were like ground zero for corruption. I could go on forever. But yes, so I think unrigging the rules of how we vote and how we draw districts, absolutely. But we have to tackle the money thing. And as you were talking about before we started talking, this money in politics thing is on steroids under Trump. It's just bananas.
It is just bananas. That other statistic, when you are in a news desert, guess what you also have? Way more corruption in your local government because there's nobody there writing about the stupid and corrupt things that the elected people are doing. Here's the other thing. I'm going to try to sneak this in. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do it. Jacob's very related.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah, my you're going to want to hear this. When I come back, I'm going to layer up some data for you that draws the line from 1976 right into today. 50 years of legalized bribery and corruption in this country. It's hurting all of us. You're going to want to stay tuned. We got Michael, we got Christy, we got Nick, and you got me, Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We continue fixing democracy on the other side. Stay tuned.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hi, I'm Ashley, and I want to talk to you about your business. Are you a business owner who lies awake at night worried about your business uncertainties? Do you know who your target audience is or how to reach them? Don't waste another night's sleep. Call me at 715-496-0710 so I can show you the tools and information you need. We offer radio, digital, and streaming services that will help you stand out. With my education and experience, I'll help you create a solid plan tailored for your business. Because cookie cutters are for the holidays, not for business needs. Call today and let those uncertainties melt away. 715-496-0710.
At WFHR and WIRI, our advertisers are part of our family, so come join the family by calling Ashley today at 715-496-0710.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about democracy reforms. Because I don't know about you, I think we deserve better. In fact, I know we deserve better. And there are things that all of us, regardless of which way we may lean, can do to create a more responsive government. Now, before the break, I teased out a particular data point and a timeline, 1976 to 2025. What happened in 1976 was the decision Buckley v. Vallejo. And Buckley v. Vallejo was the first time the Supreme Court of the United States articulated some version of money is speech. And it's only gotten worse and worse and worse and worse and worse since then, of course, culminating in 2009 Citizens United decision. Corporations aren't people and money isn't speech. We all know that. You don't need a law degree or a black robe to figure that one out. And if money is speech and corporations are people, then regular folks that earn paychecks, and that's my divide... If you ever mm-hmm. earn a paycheck, if you have had to save for retirement or a house, if you have a boss, this is about you, right? Because those are the regular folks. And I even mean some of the, you know, the lawyers and the doctors that think they're the like top 1%. No. They're screwing you too, all up and down the income range. If you get a paycheck and you have a boss, I'm talking about you having a voice in government. All of us regular folks, if money is speech and corporations are people, we're whispering and they have the best sound system ever created. It matters. And getting the money out of politics is something that we all agree on. So why aren't we seeing our institutions, our elected leaders, do just that? So here's the data overlay. Pick whatever metric is important to you. Literally, whatever it is. Real wage growth. GDP, I don't care. real wage growth. Rates of insurance. Educational attainment. Infant mortality. Maternal mortality. Pick your metric of thing that's important to you and plot it from 1976 forward. Mm-hmm. And I will guarantee you it has gotten worse. One of my favorite ones is rates of union membership and consolidation of industries that provide essential consumer goods. If corruption's legal, you would think, oh yeah, there'll be fewer unions, right? Fewer people in unions. Oh yeah, and you'd see consolidation and price gouging and all sorts of illegal collusion and anti-competitive behaviors that lock out small businesses. Anybody want to say the words like Walmart mm-hmm. and the attack on organized? I mean, anyways, Christy, you had something very interesting to say in the Hidden Show during our commercial break. Please share about what's going on in Michigan.
Sure. We were talking and I was saying that, you know, I've gone back and forth to Wisconsin. I've got family in Wisconsin. Obviously, Michigan's close to Wisconsin. Up in the UP, it's like closer than the Lower Peninsula. It's a whole thing. I actually think voters in Wisconsin are overall probably a little bit more progressive than Michiganders, but you're structurally locked into a system that's not representing the people. So you got to deal with that. In Michigan, we did. And that's maybe a different show, but we got redistricting reform. We got an independent citizens redistricting commission. Our districts are much more competitive. We massively expanded access to the ballot and different ways to vote. It's safe and secure. We also put in more protections for voters and protections against the tactics that folks use to try and deny the election. All of that was good. All of that was great. We still have a money and politics problem. So we had a Democratic trifecta we elected in 2022. I was actually working for a different organization at the time and pushing a lot of different legislation in our state legislature. It ended in total unmitigated disaster. I encourage anyone to Google lame duck Michigan and just view the carnage. It was absolutely brutal. And a lot of that got pinned on one particular lawmaker that decided to caucus with the Republican leader, and it was all this drama. No. Before all that happened, they passed their corporate tax breaks. And those corporate tax breaks are going to raise everyone's utility bills, and they are for the Silicon Valley billionaires that are building the AI that's destroying our federal government. That's what our Democratic trifecta prioritized instead of actually helping people at the end of our last session. So a huge part of the reason why I'm working for voters, not politicians now, is because we have to take on yet another structural reform. Things are not as great in Michigan as I think a lot of the national media tries to portray. Governor Whitmer has done some good things and she has done some bad things, and we have to talk about it. And she's done those bad things and everyone fell in line behind her because of money and politics. And we have to blow the whistle and we have to take it on. It is the single most corrupting influence in politics right now.
And every regular person is saying, of course it is.
Yeah, right? This isn't hard to understand.
No, and the thing is, we can do something about this. Again, while the Supreme Court took basically trying to regulate dark money off the table, the transparency element, that's what they pointed us to. So we can mandate disclosure. There's all kinds of reforms that are possible. Keith from Broadhead on the text line says this, Maggie, the only way this is going to change is by legislation, and that is never going to happen. Congress has no motivation to do it. They're making millions. It's the classic fox guarding the hen house. Respectfully, if that's true, Keith, then we all better just like pack it up and go on home. No. We can do something about this. Christy McGivelray of Voters Not Politicians, Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Professor Wagner from the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal at UW-Madison, having the conversations, being unafraid to call it out, and oh yeah, as Christy just did, holding your own side accountable fearlessly and relentlessly until we get the government that we deserve. When we come back, we continue to talk reforms on the special edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. Stay with us, folks. All kinds of great ideas coming up next.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. A federal appeals court says a California law approved by voters to require quick background checks to buy bullets is unconstitutional. CBS News legal analyst Lori Levinson.
Law enforcement actually wanted this restriction because there are many people who have guns illegally. And if they can at least control the bullets that are going out, they might be able to control who uses these guns.
She says the case is probably headed to the Supreme Court. CBS's Erica Brown tells us President Trump visited Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell at Fed headquarters.
The visit came as the president continued to push the Fed chair to lower interest rates.
I think he's going to do the right thing. Everybody knows what the right thing is. Even people that believed in, you know, the higher rates, they're all on board. They all want to see the interest rates come down. It's very important.
When asked about firing Powell, Trump said he didn't think it was necessary, noting Powell's term ends in May.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
A Brewers anniversary. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball. The Brewers host the Miami Marlins at American Family Field, where they're celebrating the 25th anniversary of the opening of the ballpark. Food discount specials, special events planned for the fans. After the game, a home run derby featuring former players like Prince Fielder, Carlos Gomez, and Ryan Braun. The Brewers with the best record in baseball heading into this weekend's series. Golf. The winner of the Wisconsin State Amateur Golf Championship is a teenager. 18-year-old Vince Siegel sank a birdie putt on the first playoff hole after shooting a 4-under 68 in the final round. NFL Packers training camp practices continue. How's it going so far?
Yesterday was pretty clean. I thought our guys did a good job of competing, but also taking care of one another, because ultimately we need everybody healthy for us to be at our best. By and large, our guys did a good job of competing, getting the work in, but also taking care of one another.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Hulk Hogan is no longer with us. The man who tried to fix wrestling matches to protect his image, notoriously used horrible racial slurs, organized a fake presidential campaign, joked about body slamming Kamala Harris, stonewalled a wrestler's union, took steroids, allegedly caused the breakup of a friend's marriage, and falsely claimed to play bass for Metallica, has passed away. Those offering tributes include the president, who says he will be missed, he was MAGA all the way, and the lovable Vince McMahon, who said Hogan was a global phenomenon. I guess those are tributes. Hulk Hogan was 71. Well, the people begged for it, and Hollywood listened. As a result, there will be a new Air Bud. In the first Air Bud, a young grieving boy befriends a dog who he finds out is great at basketball. In the new Air Bud, a young grieving boy finds a VHS tape of his father's dog, then befriends the same breed of dog who is great at playing basketball. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Tonight we'll have a partly cloudy sky across the area and a little patchy fog forming. Lows will drop to the lower 60s, light winds. Friday, the fog burns off. Otherwise, we'll have a mostly sunny sky with an afternoon high topping out in the lower 80s. Currently 65 degrees.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr joins the show with new music and great conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome and welcome back. If you're rejoining us, I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Today is a day about democracy, making government work better for each and every one of us, Republicans, Democrats, Independents. We deserve better than what we've got right now, virtually on all levels. Now, those of you who have been listening to me for a while know that I talk about local government a lot. And the reason that I do is because local government is often the place of most natural connection for people. You can show up at a committee hearing. Lots of them have public comment periods. You can talk right to your elected official. They may knock on your door themselves at some point in time. And dissatisfaction or disengagement with local government, exacerbated by news deserts, often makes real true problems intractable, large, and frankly, disastrous for our families' health and safety. Professor Wagner, I wanted to start with you. During the break, we all started to talk about water quality problems and the role of local governments. We could probably do an entire show just on that. We could do another show on public utility commissions and how all of this is going to go on and energy demand. But Professor, I wanted to ask you, flesh that out for people a little bit more. Draw those connections. How does lack of engagement translate into unsafe water and lead in the water?
Yeah, that's a great question. It really touches upon a lot of the things we've been talking about so far in our conversation, starting with local news deserts, right? So places without local news, and local news is the most trusted source of information of people in the country, regardless of partisanship. And so when local news goes away, not only do all the things we've talked about happen, people also then start getting their information from extreme national sources. They don't replace it with other local stuff. They replace it with extreme national sources. There, they're told they cannot trust their local governments or any governments, and they start to, you know, also be told they can't trust others. So there's this issue of trust that stems from losing local news. There's also the regulatory, you know, problem that comes from losing local news. And there's the money issue, right? So if we want to just talk about one issue. A colleague of mine at UW-Madison named Manny Teodoro in the La Follette School wrote a book with some other colleagues about how as bottled water grew, trust in local government declined. How could that possibly be, and how could they be related? If people are starting to buy local water, or started to buy bottled water, sorry, now the place that they had previously solely relied upon for clean drinking water, their local government, is not the place they're relying on to get something they need every single day to literally live. And as this kind of weird juxtaposition starts to happen, people start to trust their local government less because they see it doing less things that they need. And as many people, especially the well-heeled and the well-off, start to find replacements for needing city services like bottled water versus local, now the regulatory eyes aren't as sharp on the water. Now lead can get in the water. There's no local news. There's not reporting about the lead in the water. People don't know that it's happening. And if it is happening to people, it's happening to people who are less well off. who are also the people who are less likely to participate. And so it's this vicious circle that is connected by information, our ability to participate, our economic resources, the trust we have in each other and in our local government.
Beautifully said, folks. That's Professor Michael Wagner, Director of the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal. I'll just say this. Ladies and gentlemen, the city of Milwaukee has excellent water.
Yes.
Right? We have one of the best water filtration systems in the world. People come from all over to study it. We have the Department of Freshwater Sciences at UWM, and we still have a lead problem.
Yeah.
So if we think about that circle, right, that the professor was describing, and I talk about this a lot on this program, each of us has an obligation to be humble in the face of very difficult policy choices and to therefore seek out information. Because, folks, the mega corporations and billionaires like Elon Musk, they want you uninformed. That's how they do it. Right. They want no one to ever have any time off, because if you don't have any time off, you can't read any news and get informed. They want you working, 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 working. Again, topic for another show. We're also joined by Christy McGillivray. She's the executive director of Voters, Not Politicians. I've got Nick Ramos, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Now is time for the solutioning. Christy, you get two solutions. What do you think Wisconsinites should be advocating for?
Democracy reform and all of the stuff that goes into that, right? So we've got redistricting, access to the ballot, everything else, and go after money in politics. We've done the democracy reform in Michigan. We haven't tackled money in politics, and we also still have lead in our water. So those are my two big ones. And I think that the news deserts that Dr. Wagner has identified are a huge part of that too. So I know you only told me two, but
that's okay. I was like, you can get an A+ for your extra credit work. That's excellent. Nick, put more meat on the bones for us about those things. What do you think Wisconsinites should have at the top of their list for what we need to do to fix this?
Well, I mean, everyone spends so much time thinking about what's happening at the federal level. I mean, it's in front of us every day. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, they're all talking about that. But I want people to think much more micro than that. Like, you were talking about the importance of local government. I'm going to talk about the importance of local activism, because I think at this moment, folks feel powerless. People think that, like, you know, this money in politics issue, you know, it's this gargantuan behemoth in a movie that you've seen a million times. So why would you bother getting up and trying to do anything? Because it's an issue that, like, how can I, Joe Schmo, be able to do anything real about it? But at the local level, we're seeing, I mean, I get to travel the state. We're seeing people that are just standing up for the issues that make sense to them, and they are realizing that in these communities that they're not alone, and that we have real opportunities and real agency, that if the politicians are not listening, we have to remember that the prisoners outweigh the actual warden and the people that are holding us hostage. So you have to understand that we have a voice that can sing and all different types of falsettos if we're united. And so local activism, 100%. And then, you know, we can't move until we have some real movement when it comes to not just the money, not just the redistricting, but we need to do some, when we're talking about democracy reform, it means that we need to be looking at even those minute issues that keep people out and away from the table. So, like, it might not be an issue that necessarily plays to you specifically, but I bet you, you know, there's somebody in your life that's impacted by it. So you take the time to really lean in and think about, what are these things? Because if it's not you right now, guess what? Down the road, it might be you, and there might not be people there to support you when you are the one in the crosshairs. And so activism, local activism, local activism. We have so much agency and so much autonomy, and we can use it. We should not be afraid to be able to speak up. And in these times right now, when these folks are trying to look down on us and tell us that we are powerless, guess what? They need us. The mega wealthy and the politicians, if they don't have us, they have no one to sell their products to. They have no one to be able to actually, you know, shepherd in as sheep like they think that we are. We're not sheep.
Yeah, don't be a sheep. 75% of GDP growth is driven by consumer demand. Guess what billionaires don't do? And this sort of runs contrary to what a lot of, you can't, like, what's your 100th yacht worth? they end up stop. They don't consume much. We working people, the people that get paychecks, were the consumer engine of this economy. There's around 250 million voting age Americans. One Joe Schmo can't stand up to Elon Musk, but 250 million of us can. And it starts in your local government. It starts with Nick. It starts with Christy. And it also starts with folks like Professor Wagner. Sir, I wanted to give you some time to articulate what you think are reforms that should be top of mind for all Wisconsinites.
Yeah, I mean, the discussion has been great so far, and I would pick up on the third one, I think, that Christy advocated for in terms of local media, and I would say that government subsidies for local news is a really potentially helpful reform. Local news is very widely trusted, essential to good governance, and essential to local and civic participation. And from the founding of our country, we've had government investment in the news to try and figure out ways to help the citizenry be informed, because you can't do anything of consequence unless you know what's verifiably true and communicate it to others. And so I think that's one thing that needs to be done. I think the other is probably a more forceful and full-throated redistricting reform. You know, a set of maps going through is one thing, but a process that ensures a fair process each time would be a better thing to helping to ensure more equal representation in Wisconsin.
Folks, that is Professor Michael Wagner, the director of the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm going to throw my own two ideas out there. And the first one is everyone should be asking your elected leaders, if you don't already have it, and in Wisconsin we don't, in Michigan they've got it, Minnesota and Illinois, all of our neighbor states have this, if they have signed on and pledged support for the national popular vote interstate compact. Why in goodness gracious do some Americans' votes for president not matter at all? Wow. That's not democracy. The national popular vote compact, pretty simple. Your state amends or legislates in whatever way it may have to pledge all of its electoral college votes for whomever wins the national popular vote. It ain't complicated. It's pretty gosh darn easy. And that doesn't require a constitutional amendment. It just requires your local and state governments to do what they damn well should.
Michigan didn't enact.
They didn't do it.
No, that's one of the things that died in lame duck. That's one of the things.
That's insane.
I know.
Shame on you, Governor Whitmer. Not just for standing in the Oval Office awkwardly, which is just bad luck, but for that. And right now, I really, truly believe that there is an opportunity to use the nascent cryptocurrency, which I think regular people are grossed out by, and the discussion about that, to reopen and reinvigorate a discussion about money and politics specifically. And this is the one reform. One of our earlier guests mentioned it. Ban elected officials from being able to own stock indirectly or directly. Oh, and yeah, presidents and vice presidents and governors too. If they are able to regulate that particular company or industry. All right, I'll give you a third one, too. This is system reform, and it is doable. Dear Supreme Court, here are your binding ethics rules. Okay, I'll give you one more. We're going to actually strengthen and beef up and clarify federal and state civil and criminal corruption laws.
Wow.
We can do better than this. It is not undoable. There's 250 million of us. We got this. Come on, Wisconsin. Come on, America. Big thanks to Christy McGivelray of Voters Not Politicians. And also big, big thanks to Professor Michael Wagner, director of the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Nick Ramos sticks around. He and I give you our final thoughts on how do we fix this for all of us, every single one of us, when we come back right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking. Which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
This is what you desire. Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Stupid. Like, remember that? It's the economy, stupid. It's the democracy. It's not working for us right now. Folks, welcome back. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Got my friend, co-host, fellow rabble-rouser, Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He's their executive director, sticking around with me. When you look at the last 50-odd years, again, I think so much of this comes back to the Supreme Court condoning corruption. I mean, they wrote a decision this term that basically went like, oh, yeah. Bribing local government or state government officials, that's fine. Just give them the money afterwards and call it a tip. Then you're good to go. The federal corruption laws can't touch you. That's stupid. That is insane. And so one of the other things we have to be talking about are these Article 3 judges, especially the ones on the Supreme Court. The court can and likely should be expanded. The Supreme Court should have binding ethics rules, and they should have term limits, and they should be rotating term, like, so they're all staggered, yep. Right? And hey, if you're like, oh, that's great, maybe Trump will do it. No, and I wouldn't say this if it was Biden. You don't have to pack the court, okay? Which, because we only have the two freaking political parties, would alienate 80 million people in this country. You can actually legislate how you would do this and try to do it over a whole number of years. You could spread it out where one justice is added like every 10 years. So it can be more fair. Nick, we've talked about a lot of different subjects. And you called out local activism. And I want to thank you for what you do. For folks that are looking to get into the action and who might find themselves thinking, well, I don't agree with all those things that those lefty progressives have to say. Like, where's the foothold? Where's the place for someone to start getting involved, organizing in their community? If they look at both of the political parties and they go, these aren't my people. I've got a mix of beliefs.
Yeah.
Where should they go? What should those folks be doing? What should we be asking people that are generally displeased? How should they be engaging?
Well, I mean, it's a fascinating question because at the end of the day, people, I'm trying to remember who earlier brought this up, but people on either side of the aisle right now think the system does not work for them. And you have opportunities then, if you are either jaded or think that the system really is rigged against you, to look to some of the nonpartisan, nonprofit organizations that are mission-driven and are delivering on very specific issues that play a tune that you like the sound of. And like right now, you know, in Wisconsin, we know that there's a five-year window between now and 2030 when the next census happens. And we've talked about redistricting a bit. And across the state right now, through the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition, where the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign is a fiscal agent over it, and we have been in partnership with a lot of reputable, credible organizations that are not here to tell you how to vote, not here to tell you what to think, but to just share with you what issues are on the table and that you have an opportunity as Maggie or as Nick to be able to have your voice heard and be able to actually raise the house and be able to make sure that people know that this issue is something that's not going away. And through the redistricting issue, like until we have a process in place where fair maps are going to be the norm, instead of politicians being able to put their thumb on the scales, we're going to see the continuous just, you know, when the Democrats have power, guess what? They're going to do all different types of things. They're going to be advantageous to Democrats, and they're going to leave a bunch of people out that are sitting here being like, well, shouldn't I get an opportunity to say something? And on the opposite side of that coin, the Republicans doing the same thing, Democrats, it creates this level of resentment.
Yeah.
And I think in this moment right now, we should be thinking about if the shoe were on the other foot, what is fair? And if we can decide that together and have those kinds of conversations, you have an opportunity right now. There's going to be fair maps tours across the state that are underway right now to talk about the fixes. And we're talking about legislation and then a constitutional amendment so that we can rid ourselves of this cancer that gerrymandering has caused for years in the state, where people show up and they say, you know what, why should I even care? Or when it comes to the money, we're talking about big reform with money, because I don't know about you, Maggie, but I don't have 100 grand or $1 million underneath my mattress right now that I can just contribute to whatever politician and curry favor with them. We all deserve to be able to sit up and we say, if there's something that's not right, we shouldn't be batted away like a fly. We should be heard and told that like our opinions and our thoughts matter. And so we have a moment, whether it's redistricting, whether it's money in politics, whether it's collective bargaining, whether it's Medicare, Medicaid, whether it's, you can plug in the issue. I promise you there's a nonpartisan nonprofit in this state right now that is focusing on that issue.
I'm going to build on that, folks. That's Nick Ramos, my special friend, my special friend and guest co-host today. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. I'm going to give myself and every single one of you a homework assignment. Here it is. And it's going to get us activated together. I want you to list the three most important things to you And I'm talking about specific issue. Don't write down climate. Write down a specific thing about it. Whatever your issue is. If you're pro-life, go ahead. Write it down. And then I want you to go and find out challenging information from nonprofit, nonpartisan, cross-partisan sources and investigate the heck out of that issue. Understand where you think we should be. Look at the data. It's there for you. Because knowledge is power, and voters in this country have power. They want you to think otherwise, but we have it. We can do this. There's 250 million of us.
Amen.
Thank you, Nick. Thank to each and every one of you. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Iranian officials are about to meet with representatives of Britain, France, and Germany looking for a deal regarding their nuclear program. Harlan Ullman is senior advisor to the Atlantic Council.
Negotiations with the United States are very, very unlikely. And so, therefore, this negotiation may open a path to Iran as a way of being able to improve its relations with EU. If it does, I suspect that might infuriate the Trump administration, but we're in a situation here where the administration in America is sort of lost to what it can do in terms of Iran except impose sanctions.
President Trump's special envoy Steve Witkoff says the U.S. is cutting short Gaza ceasefire talks. BBC's Tom Bateman reports on reaction.
I think in part this is a pressure tactic because they know that Hamas regarded this as their final response to the current proposal on the table.